much about.
I got every kind of audience out there. And when I yell, why don't I get my mic turned down? I'm going to blow the speakers if I don't get it loud. Give me the volume. When I yell, I want to be heard. Because I only yell when there's an occasion for yelling.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I'll always be there.
This is Bean.
This is the Plastic Pickle Store. I just want to thank you so much for thinking of me. No one's even gave me a thought since in 30 years no one's been talking about me.
This is the Plastic Pickle Store listening to the show.
I'm a big fan of the show. I listen to it around Los Angeles doing some new commercials. Oh, that's a crunchy pickle.
And now.
This reminds me of a little girl from a steel town who had the dream to dance.
She had to strip down to nothing. She had to sit in that chair and arch her back, and she reached up and pulled the chain to nowhere and doused herself with water.
Flashdance? You're talking about the movie from the 80s.
Yeah, you're damn right I am.
Our feature presentation.
That's your boyfriend Vince Vaughn right there, Allie McKay.
I love him so much.
He did spend a lot of time on his birthday yesterday talking about how he was pretty much the perfect man.
He pretty much is.
Yeah, he's a good deal. And it was good to hear the Vlasic Pickle call in again. It's been a while for that.
What a coup.
I know.
That guy to call in.
Big boy didn't have him. This is what's amazing to me about the great Ralph Garvin, who really is, we joke, but he really is the man of a thousand voices. He's got so many impressions like that one that we just never do, that he can do. You know what I mean? You hear the stuff that we use him for, but think about all the impressions he can do that never make the radio or things like that that make the radio one time. It's just a very deep well there is what I'm saying.
I didn't know that was Ralph.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was the Vlasic Pickle.
You thought it was the real Vlasic Pickle guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, I just shattered.
I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
But it's not as cool now, right?
No.
Because it's just a guy in the room. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I just shattered the illusion of radio for one little girl. I just broke her heart.
And
I'm sorry for that. So that was the real Vlasic Pickle guy from the commercial.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No,
cool.
That was him because we got him.
Yeah.
Did. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday morning. How do you guys think Kevin is celebrating his birthday? You think he's in the Caribbean or
probably
Europe?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Do you think Caribbean?
Well, he was on vacation, and then he sent us an email and said, hey, guys, I think I'm going to go to New York instead of coming to work. So I thought, well, that's fun. New York's fun. Maybe he's going to see – probably not Hamilton. It's Kevin. But maybe he's going to see something. And then I thought, well, if he's taking the week off, you don't spend that whole time in New York.
No.
You know, you're so close to all those other destinations, you get on another plane and go someplace. Because work is for suckers.
How's your geography?
What?
So you're in New York, so you're so close to...
To the Caribbean.
Yeah, to the Caribbean. Isn't that... I mean, that's a lot closer than from L.A.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. In Europe, of course, same deal. Would
sure,
be
sure.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
Yes,
so
yes.
I just wonder... Kevin just has this exciting worldwide life, and I just wonder, what's a guy like that do on his birthday when he can go anywhere and do anything? That's all.
That's true.
All right.
Chip just said, I'm going to leave. It's so early.
I lost you already.
Chip. I put in a good 37 minutes today.
Oh, dear.
All right. Speaking of travel, there are two stories in the news in the last 7 days that involve China Southern Airlines. I am not familiar with this airline, but I assume that they are popular in parts of the world where I don't live and go. Last Wednesday morning, a passenger onboard flight 3693 opened the emergency exit door before the plane took off. He said he was trying to get some fresh air, and he had mistaken the door handle as a lever to open the plane's windows. Let me repeat that while you try to process what's going through this dumb guy's mind. He was trying to get some fresh air and had mistaken the door handle as a lever to open the plane's windows.
Yeah.
How would that work, first of all? And who is on a plane that thinks the windows open?
There's a lot wrong with this guy.
There's a lot wrong with this guy. Look, I know in the minutes after you board and before they fire up the engines to take off that it can get warm on an airplane. sometimes it can be a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But this guy gets up and goes to the emergency exit door and opens it. Due to the incident, the flight was delayed for over an hour. While the crew investigated the matter, airport ground staff proceeded to shut the door from the outside and carried out the last-minute safety checks. The offense of an unauthorized opening of a plane's emergency exit door is a fine and possible criminal detection, so it is unknown what the fate of that passenger is. He may, in fact, even be blacklisted from air travel as a result of it.
Oh, all right. Wow.
So that is thing one. Thing two, in the news this morning, China Southern Airlines. The latest in a series of emergency exit door mishaps on the airline saw a 50-year-old Chinese woman open the emergency door because she mistook it for the toilet door. This, again, was before the plane took off. How do you walk up to the emergency exit door and think that's a toilet? Think that's where the bathroom is?
Well, now I'm starting to think they have weird doors because something's really wrong here.
This picture from the plane, it looks to me like a standard emergency exit. I mean, it says emergency exit in English and in Chinese above the door, and it's the kind of door that you see on our planes up by the cockpit that has the little window in it. So,
right.
I mean, the fact that it has a window in it that you can see out
of. A really classy bathroom.
Would make me think that maybe it's not a toilet, right? In her haste to use the bathroom, she even managed to deploy the emergency slide as the plane was getting ready to take off. This flight, on its way to Sichuan, experienced a two-hour delay as a result. My favorite part of the story, and maybe China is like America in this respect, is several passengers on this flight, flight 3456, gave a loud hissing sound. Because I'm sure they're like, oh, come on! Now we're going to be delayed for this lady. Some people started to panic when the emergency slide went down. Again, I remind you, the plane had not taken off yet and was still on the ground in the airport. What is going on with the Chinese people? The crew proceeded to evacuate the plane so airport staff could investigate the matter and fix the problem. The unnamed passenger later told the staff that it was her first time on board an airplane. And that she thought there was another bathroom behind the emergency exit door.
Oh, like Magic Castle.
Does this make any sense to anyone?
Well, no, but now I feel sad for her.
Because she's the first time.
Yeah.
She was trying to avoid the queue for the real bathroom when the incident took place, so she thought this was the second bathroom. And again, why is there a line of people to use the bathroom right as you get on the plane? I'm just scratching my head over this whole story. I need more information. No one was injured. Airport authorities are investigating the disturbance. So there you go. That's China Southern Airlines. Twice in a week, they've had somebody open the emergency exit for weird reasons. So stop it.
Yes.
At least if Kevin takes China Southern Airlines, he'll know how to use the plane, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. It's questionable.
All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beecher, shall we?
Well, let's see. First of all, no. And then the other thing I really wanted to say was no.
How dare you? People can protest anything, and a school in the South has parents who are protesting the kids being taught yoga. They are against it. Violently, vehemently, and lots of other words that start with V. We'll explain coming up next hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. Also, we're going to give you a chance to win some April Foolishness tickets up close in the That's My John section. This includes the party with the Kevin and Bean Show. This includes the up close parking out back at the Shrine. This includes the T-shirt. And, of course, a great night of comedy this Saturday night. We've got those tickets for you at 7 o'clock this morning. We're going to talk to our listeners who have been involved in police car chases. These are our people, Allie. Why do you snicker? Our people, 40% of our listeners have tried to avoid the police for one thing or another.
I know.
So I'm excited about talking about that.
Okay.
Because it's very difficult to get away, particularly when they get a helicopter on you. But our listeners have figured out a way to do it. So we'll discuss that on the program. And one of my favorites, actress Rachel Nichols, makes her return to the Kevin and Bean Show. We've had her on a number of times over the years. But it's been a while. It's been a while. And I thought it was me. I thought I had done something. So either I've been forgiven or she's forgotten, but she is returning. She is in a new movie called Pandemic, and she'll be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour as well. That's all coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, along with a classic pickle, I bet, right after this on K-Rock. Nice. Remix! Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget the Lumineers are coming to town. They're playing the Hollywood Bowl in October. We're going to give away some tickets to that and passes to see the Lumineers in the Red Bull Sound Space at KROQ, which is coming up next week on April the 4th. Get your details at KROQ.com. But your chance to win in less than 20 minutes from right now to see the Lumineers, who are very good. We've had them perform on the show before, and they are very good.
Hippies.
So that's coming up on KROQ. But they're good, right?
But they're hippies.
Colorado hippies. Yeah. They bring the best weed in with them when they come by.
Patchouli and lava lamps.
First, though, Ralph is here with a look at the show biz beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, sir?
First things first.
Mm-hmm. I pop freaks all the honeys.
Sorry.
What just happened?
When he says she first being... things first, I just think of
right. So every time, so I have to remove that from my vocabulary.
From your lexicon.
Because that's going to trigger that thing every time.
Yeah.
And she can't not say it.
No. Apparently
that's
not.
That's not an option.
That's not the case. That's not
sorry,
capable.
Sorry.
Firstly, Bean, nice. I need to apologize to you.
Oh.
Because you were right and I was wrong.
About?
About the amazing Flash Supergirl crossover last night, which was awesome, by the way. Well done.
Okay.
To everyone there at Berlanti who made that all happen. But you brought up yesterday, is this an alternate universe thing? And I said, no, Supergirl and Flash are in the same universe. It turns out, in the comics, that's the case. It turns out last night that is how they portrayed the team-up last night, was that Flash crossed over from his universe over to Supergirl's universe, which apparently is they don't live in the same universe.
That's just a decision they made on the TV show.
Yes. I'm guessing that's a network thing. Because CBS said, okay, we'll let you do it this once, but it can't be like they're just hanging out all the time.
They're neighbors, right.
That'll make things weird. So the CW-CBS factor, I think, forced them to make an alternate universe choice. But it was the case last night, and it was actually quite awesome. Great show last night.
What was it like having Flash running around with Supergirl?
It was the coolest thing ever. And they were friends, and they didn't fight each other, and they didn't try to kill each other.
Did they do it?
The fresh take on superheroes. No, Bean, they didn't.
Well,
do
I
it.
Would think that, you know, they got a lot in common just right out of the gate. I would think young, attractive people, why not?
They did race, however.
Who won?
We all won, Allie. We all won. Thank you.
But who won?
It was funny. Calista Flockhart, as Cat Grant last night, said as she looked upon Supergirl in her secret identity, and Grant Gustin as Barry Allen, his secret identity, and Jimmy Olsen and other characters, she looked up and said, my God, you're like one of those really attractive, ethnically diverse casts from a CW show. So that was strong. And also, let's clear some things up. Yesterday, it sent the world into a tailspin. The fact that Canadian actress, singer, songwriter Jessica Lowndes was apparently dating homunculus John Lovitz.
Homunculus?
Yes. Hideous troll man John Lovitz.
And that age difference is about 30 years?
31 years. Being,
okay, all right.
Him being 58 years of age, her being 27 years of age. She released pictures on her Instagram saying, I have a new man, he's my man, and a picture of an engagement ring, and two of them cavorting, canoodling, if you will. And everyone got very upset. I know I did. But I just would like to say, there was one voice of reason in the wilderness, if you remember correctly. There was one candle that did not curse the darkness, but lit the way.
And that was everyone on the internet?
Yeah.
Who
everyone
refused to believe
it wasn't real.
But who was the one amongst us yesterday, Bean? Who amongst us?
Well, I don't think any of us thought it was real.
Oh,
but we were trying to figure out
God.
What it could possibly
now
be.
Now it's retcon. Now it's going back in revisionist history.
No. None of us thought it was real.
You
we were just trying to figure out what the
real.
Point of it was.
You're
and
like,
I was.
They're not promoting anything. I don't see anything. What could they be promoting?
Well,
a year ago they were friends. Then they must be together for a year. And I was like,
yeah.
This is a BS publicity stunt. Is
yes.
what I said, isn't
you
it?
Did, you absolutely said that, and we were waiting for the other show
know.
To drop.
How do you know? You don't know. It could be. Is all I got, and that was the blowback that I got.
Well, look.
Nobody, liar! Yeah, right.
Nobody thought it was real, but we didn't know when we were on the air yesterday what it was all about, and I guess now we do. Is that the story here?
Yes, it was part of a promotion for her new music video that she's releasing. So there you go.
I mean, I guess it worked in that now people know she has one, but Nothing about this makes me want to go watch it, I'll tell you that.
No, that's for sure. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Chris D'Elia, he's 36 years old today. Lucy Lawless.
Lucy Lawless.
Xena, of course, the warrior princess, or whatever she was. Was that it?
Warrior princess? That was right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just it didn't sound right in retrospect. When I look back on that show, she didn't strike me as a princess at all. She was like a
Princesses can be
Not really.
When they get mad and they're warriors.
They're Hulk princesses. Yeah. And of course, she was on Battlestar Galactica, too. She was terrific on that show. 48 years old. Singer John Popper from Blues Traveler.
Sure.
He's 49.
Stunningly still alive.
He's dropped a ton of weight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, has he?
Yeah. I think he had one of them stomach sleeves.
Okay. We did a breakfast with them. Ralph, you were with us, I think, at Cantor's years back.
Yes.
And he may have been at peak weight at that time.
He was a big boy.
I remember thinking, this dude's not going to survive the year.
But he had a lot of harmonicas. I know that.
He did have that.
He had bandoliers of harmonicas.
Huh.
Familiar with a bandolier, Al? You know what that is?
No.
Bandolier is, let me put it in terms you can understand. Chewbacca wears them. Those big strappy things that go across that hold ammunition.
Oh,
John
just
Popper
full of harmonicas.
Had two bandoliers across his chest, looked like a bandito from an old movie. And in each slot, there was a different harmonica.
That's a look.
Well, it's part of his job. Yeah. He needs it. He needs them quickly.
Yeah.
He's got them right there. It's like a holster.
But see, I get when people have a lot of guitars because they all sound different and do different things. But
yes.
I guess I didn't realize he must be some sort of an aficionado with the harmonica to be able to tell the difference between all those.
Well,
I
you know, harmonicas come in keys, you know.
I did not know that.
Each harmonica is a different key. So if you want to play in a key, you need a harmonica in that key. You can't change keys on a harmonica. It has to be in that key when you're playing it.
So it's not like a kazoo.
No, it is not like a kazoo at all, Allie.
No.
No.
How do you know so much about harmonicas, Ralph?
It's not a lot to know. It's
well,
just,
you know
it's just
more
the
than
one thing.
But I would
say they come in different keys.
I would bet
that's
you
all
know,
I know
more than almost anybody.
I think that's wrong.
I bet
that's
news,
pretty standard news.
That news is as shocking to the listeners right now as it is to me. I bet because
I bet not.
I bet there are very few people out there who went. Yeah, of course, everybody knows that.
You are, for a smart, well-informed guy, you have some big blind spots.
I do. Well, harmonicas is one of them.
How do heart attacks work?
Remember Gary Shandling? Like, what? You can just have a heart attack and die? Without any warning?
I had people over the weekend that were like, what the hell?
Hold on. You can just, your heart will just attack?
I thought
you would drop right dead.
And you die?
I thought you would know if there was something wrong with your heart. That's all. Like, you would get a heads up that you have a potential for a heart attack. I didn't realize it could just come out of anywhere and kill anybody.
Wait. You can shoot someone with a bullet? And they don't see it coming? They can't just get out of the way of it? Perry Farrell from James Addiction is 57 years old. And comedian Eric Idle, of course, of legendary Monty Python's Flying Circus. And Spamalot, 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You need to make money.
top 10 finalists for Kevin and Bean's opening act contest for this weekend's April Foolishness at the Shrine are up right now at krock.com. You can cast your vote for which comedian or comedienne you would like to see open the show. Let's hear a little bit of that to Brian Whitaker. He's funny, all right?
Level of broke that I can relate to is like you see, back in high school, I lived in this mostly Mexican neighborhood called America. Yeah. So when friends and I would go grab a bite to eat, we would usually go out to Mexican, you know, restaurants. And my favorite part of the meal there was always when they'd bring the free chips and salsa, because that was my meal. Yeah.
If you like Brian, cast your vote for him. You can vote once a day at krock.com in the Kevin and Bean section. Who will be the opening act for this weekend? Saturday night at the Shrine, Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. It's going to be a lot of fun. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. Only 17 days till Coachella, you guys. Listen to KROQ every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to win a pair of tickets for the sold-out three-day first weekend of Coachella and access to the KROQ Coachella house. Plus, you qualify to drive home in a new 2016 Jeep Renegade. So it's all good stuff. Coachella and a new car. Get your details at KROQ.com and your chance to win at 5 o'clock today. Allie, ever do yoga?
I did. It
what'd
bores me.
What do you think? Really?
I don't like being quiet.
Yeah,
I don't like
that's for sure.
Missing TV. there's so many reasons. Like, people are farting. and sweating. It's just,
wow.
I don't need that in my life.
You're
people love it.
Sound it awful.
People love it, and it really centers some people. It does not center me.
Is the point of yoga to stop, to slow down,
yeah.
to concentrate on your breathing, and
yeah.
to kind of ignore whatever stress or noise is happening in the world?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You enjoy the stress and the noise more? Well, they are trying yoga in all sorts of places, and even in schools around the country. It's become more and more popular as part of a physical fitness program, and B, just to calm the little kids down.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a school that made the news. It's Bullard Elementary School in Kennesaw, Georgia, and they started a yoga class recently for their students, and they are getting some tremendous pushback from parents who say that they feel it is an infringement on their Christian religion. They look at yoga as not a secular thing, but as a religious thing that is based in Eastern religions.
Huh.
So they say that basically what's happening is that the school is forcing non-Christian religious practices on their children during school hours. And they have complained about that. For instance, they can't say namaste anymore if they do yoga there. Because namaste, for some people, they think that that is a religious greeting. So I don't want to mischaracterize the complaint here. So I asked producer Dave if there's anyone that we could speak with to talk to about this story. And I believe we do have a parent who has a kid going to the school. And this is Donnie Ray Moore, who joins us on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Moore. How are you, sir?
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you for joining us.
Hold on a second.
Oh.
Are you
picking?
Are you playing the banjo right now?
All right, just I got to get some in every morning. I like to practice.
Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
It's interesting that you felt the urge to play right as we got on the phone
to
do this interview.
Well, I was in the middle of something when you called, okay?
I'm sorry.
The whole world don't revolve around you.
Okay, I apologize, Mr. Moore. So who's your precious little snowflake that goes to Bullard Elementary School?
My little Jenny Ray.
Jenny Ray, okay.
Named after her mother. Mm-hmm. Jenny Ray Sr.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that it worked like that, seniors with ladies.
It does now.
Okay. All right. You sound confrontational. I'm not trying to pick a fight with you.
I know what you're coming at me with. I know where you are. I know you're from California.
Right.
Everybody, you're probably doing yoga right now, I'm sure. That's why you won't talk to me about it, because you're all namaste, and you're all, hey, look at me. I'm in yoga pants. Read my lips.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, I'm not doing yoga right now, but you're right. It is very popular for a lot of people in California, and they find it very helpful. Don't you think it would help Jenny Ray?
No, I do not think it would help her to learn no Muslim twisty positions.
It's not a Muslim thing at all.
Okay. Whatever you say. Listen, we got no prayer in schools right now in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
No prayers. Some of them don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance. And you want her to go namaste everywhere and get on a mat and start sweating and saying foreign languages. Thanks, Obama.
I don't think this has anything to do with the president. I think the intention is just to center the children, to get them
center
to
center them, yeah. Oh, get them nice and relaxed, right? So then the Muslims attack and we're not ready.
That's not what the Muslims are not going to attack. That's not. Whoa.
Oh.
Did you shoot at something?
Yeah, I did. I thought I saw something in the woods.
No.
Donnie Ray.
Yeah?
You're very aggressive.
Hey, you know, I'm not aggressive. I'm vigilant, okay? That's what the Bible tells us to do. Be vigilant against Satan.
Okay,
now it's Satan. It was Muslim, so now it's Satan.
Same thing, ladies.
No, not the same thing. I think, and you're going to be offended by this, Donnie Ray, but I think you need yoga. I think you needed something to settle yourself down.
You son of a bitch. You are pretty bold over the phone. If you were here right now, we'd be tussling. We'd be tussling.
I don't want to come to Georgia and tussle with you, Donnie Ray.
What I say about the yoga is like, yoga frees your mind. Let me tell you something. There's no room for a free mind in religion, okay? You remember that. God wants your mind locked up tight.
I will remember that.
Thanks, Obama.
Okay. You know what, Ralph?
Really?
What? He was just singing along.
No,
just
it was the hand movements and the staring right at me. Disgust.
Why are you coming to the guy just trying to enjoy himself? What's wrong with having a little fun at work and just singing along with the music that we love?
Why can't we have some joy?
Jeez. Giving it away, by the way, is a great idea because we have a pair of tickets for you right now for Kevin Weed's April Foolishness 2016. I could not resist. It's Saturday night at the Shrine Auditorium. If you want to be there up close.
It's an actual spit take. Thank you, Chip.
If you want to be up close to the That's My John section to see Bob Saget and Eddie F., Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, Jay Moore, and Wheeler Walker Jr., plus access to the VIP reception with Kevin Bean, a That's My John section t-shirt, and VIP parking, call now, 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn these tickets. We have a game that you can play just after 7 to win it for April Foolishness this Saturday night. Because we're giving it away.
Hey, giving it away is a great idea, don't you think, everybody? Like a call, we're going to do a game now. You can win those big tickets to the big April Foolishness show. Because we're giving it away. Just like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Good morning.
Asshole.
Hey, how dare you. All right, time for the showbiz beat now. What's going on?
Congratulations to Deadpool. Sweet-ass Deadpool. Saw that movie again recently, by the way. It's just so freaking good. It has just become the most successful R-rated film in history.
Wow.
Global box office just passed $746 million.
Oh, my God.
That is surprising.
Have you seen it?
I have not. Hmm. But nobody expected that. Nobody. Even the people who made the movie didn't expect that.
No, they certainly didn't. But Matrix Reloaded was the previous record holder, and now they have moved past it. And here's the thing. It hasn't opened in Japan yet.
Oh, wow. They're going to love it.
So in June, when it opens there, it's going to be even making more money. And so who knows? Who knows? The sky's the limit for Deadpool.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying here. Harrison Ford, he knows a thing, too, about big budget blockbusters. He is auctioning off the jacket he wore as Han Solo in The Force Awakens to benefit epilepsy research. His 26-year-old daughter, Georgia, has epilepsy, and Harrison donated the jacket, which he signed, to benefit the New York University's Langone Center and the organization FACES, F-A-C-E-S, which stands for Finding a Cure for Epilepsy and Seizures. Bidding started at $18,000. On ifonly.com. No word when the auction ends in this story here, but I'm assuming it'll go for, I don't know, Han Solo's jacket's got to go for a ton, right?
A lot, yeah.
It's not one of the OG films, but still. I wonder if this one has a hole in the back.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Too soon.
You don't know. Hey, remember,
by the way, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just... Allie, so the digital Force Awakens happens Friday, and then the following week is when the Blu-ray comes out. Uh-huh. You all pre-ordered and locked up and ready to go?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Just want to make sure. I don't want you to miss it.
Pre-ordered 2 years ago. She just sits on her front stoop waiting for the mailman.
I do. Come on, Jenna. That's her name.
You have a mail lady?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's hot, right?
I have a mail lady, too.
Well, that's gross.
Why is it gross? The postal employee who services my neighborhood happens to be a woman.
Because it's you.
Gross about that.
Because it's you.
Look, just because I check the mail in the nude doesn't mean it's for her benefit. It's just how I'm comfortable.
Man. Justin Bieber fans got bad news last week. We talked about this. He canceled all his meet and greets because he said it drains him emotionally, makes him depressed.
I get it.
But here's the thing. What if you paid $2,000 for the VIP meet and greet package like folks did in Vegas over the weekend?
You'd get your money back?
No, Allie.
Oh.
If you wanted to get a full refund, you had to give back your concert tickets, too.
Oh, that doesn't sound right.
It was all tied together.
That's
not
move.
Right.
It's a package. So
Come
if you
on,
want your
Justin.
$2,000 back, you got to give the concert tickets back, too. Well, a lot of people, as you can imagine, didn't want to do that. They wanted to see the concert. So... they got the augmented, the changed, the altered VIP package, which was a photo of you with a cardboard cutout of Justin Bieber backstage.
No. Really?
That's some money well spent right there.
Wow.
I would lose it.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind.
Can you imagine if you like bid on that or something for a charity event and you went with your kids so excited? Mm-hmm. That's some BS.
Well, I'm sure that's why no one returned those tickets, because they probably had kids and they promised them a meet and greet with Justin Bieber, but instead they got a cardboard cutout.
You know what? You're too young to be smoking pot and, you know, pee-peeing in buckets and driving up and down the highway fast.
Right.
Good point.
Man's very upset. Today's celebrity birthday is Eric Idle, 73 years old today. One of the best. Not only Monty Python and Spamalot, but The Ruddles. Let's not forget about The Ruddles.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
His solo work as an actor and comedian in motion pictures with Terry Gilliam, like Time Bandits.
Amazing.
Baron Munchausen.
I did a live shot with him.
What?
And he was supposed to just come and do one segment. Exactly. He stayed for over 2.5 hours, did one of the segments. It was for Spamalot. What are the, you put your hands in your head? A stockade? Yes, a stock. Mm-hmm. He said, wouldn't it be funny if I did the whole segment in here? I'm like, yeah, it would. He's like, all right, great. Did the whole segment from a stockade. He was magic, and I loved him so much. And then guess how he ended? He sang Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Wow.
It was the best day of my life.
He was working pretty hard for a local TV shot.
Well, it was for the premiere of Spamalot.
Oh, I see.
We were number one back then.
For sure, back then.
I mean, that's
how the mighty have fallen, right? You know. Now look at you now.
Right?
Can't even get on TV.
You're on the radio with us.
That took a turn.
You're so sad. Charred Royals! You're burnt. Perry Farrell's 57 years old today. Blues traveler singer John Popper's 49. Lucy Lawless is 48. Chris D'Elia, the comedian actor, is 36. And our own Kevin Ryder would have celebrated his birthday today. So
he was so young.
So young. We'll miss him. And,
he is a dick.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say speak ill of the dead, but yes, he kind of was a dick. But he will be missed nonetheless because he was our dick.
That's, you know what? I'm getting information in my headphones that he is alive.
Oh, that's just not possible. No man alive could miss this much work.
And that he will be back eventually.
It's not possible. There must be death.
Maybe even later this week. No later than next week for sure.
Would you stop?
I'm just telling you what they're telling me.
I miss him.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Delightful actress Rachel Nichols next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a couple of years since she's been on the program. Very excited. Looking forward to catching up with her. That is on the way right now. We want to give away some tickets for this Saturday night at the Shrine. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016 to see the great comedy of Bob Sackett, Eddie If, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, Jay Moore, and Wheeler Walker Jr. Some of the cheapy cheap seats for $25 are still left if you want to be there in person. But we're giving away tickets up close in the That's My John section. This is the closest to the stage. You get the t-shirt. You get the party with the show backstage. You get the parking, the whole deal. And we're giving them away with a game that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Oh yeah! Total Recall, tickets to foolishness. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh yeah!
Oh yeah, indeed. 10 seconds on the clock. I'm going to give you a category, and you'll have to name 5 things in that category in 10 seconds. Allie, you play along with this game when we do it on the show, but it's nothing like being on the phone on the other end.
Not at all.
A lot of pressure involved.
Yeah.
So good luck. If you are right, you go into the drawing. Somebody on the phone right now will win the tickets at the end of it all, and we'll start with line one and make it Jim in Manhattan Beach. Hey, Jim.
Hi, how are you doing?
Says here you work for the government. Ours?
Yes. Our government.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Veteran Affairs.
Just want to make sure I'm not, giving out tickets to some communist or something. Okay. All right, so I'm going to give you a category. There's going to be 10 seconds on the clock. You're going to try to name 5 things in that category, and Beer Mug is going to be the one who decides whether the answer is right or not. So I'm warning everybody right now that we do have the Beer Mug factor involved in this game. So listen up. Here's your question. The hilarious Eddie Ift is back on the bill for this year's April Foolishness. He has performed in over 24 countries, but is inexplicably most popular down in Australia. He even recorded one of his popular comedy albums at the sold-out Sydney Opera House. Your job, Jim, is to name for me any 5 Australian celebrities. Any 5 Australian celebrities in 10 seconds. Good luck, sir.
Nicole Kidman, Russell Crowe.
Well, I mean, you were on the right track, but yeah, those were great guesses. Naomi Watts comes to mind, the Hemsworth brothers, Mel
Newton,
Gibson.
John.
Living in John is one for some
Jeffries.
Reason Allie thought of. Kylie Minogue, Rebel Wilson. There's a lot of them. I'm sorry you didn't make it, but thank you for playing anyway. Let's move on to Greg in Valencia, line two. Hey, Greg. Hey, Greg. Greg is going once.
I'm here.
Oh, Greg, what were you doing?
It sounded staticky. It wasn't my fault. It was the two guys.
Oh,
very aggressive.
Already throwing blame at us, Greg. Wow, this is a bad start to our relationship, man.
You know what? I love you guys. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to apologize.
Oh, you're under the weather, but somehow our phone is bad. I see. Okay. All right. Well, good luck, Greg. I hope you win. The great Bob Saget is a longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, I think he's going to be joining us in here tomorrow, in fact. Of course, he's back on TV right now with a crazy popular new Netflix series, Fuller House. If you'd like to see Bob on Saturday night with us, here's the question for you. I want you to name five other Netflix-only series in 10 seconds. Five other Netflix shows in 10 seconds. Good luck.
I don't have that show. I don't watch Netflix. Oh, my gosh.
Run. Well, Greg. I got to let the timer run out before I... All right. Even if you don't have Netflix, do you live in a world where you've heard of House of Cards or Orange is the New Black or Daredevil or Kimmy Schmidt?
I hear them all the time on your show.
Okay. You don't have... All right. Hope you feel better. Thank you for playing. Are we 0-2 right now?
We're 0-2.
All right. Marcel Montebello, line 3. Hey, Marcel.
Hello.
All right, how are you feeling about your chances on Total Recall for Foolishness tickets?
It's always different when you're on the spot.
It
okay.
is.
All right, good luck. Our friend Jay Moore is one of the best stand-up comedians in the country. He's a popular sports radio talk show host and a podcaster, but he got on a lot of people's radar way back in 1996 playing a character called Bob Sugar in the film Jerry Maguire. Of course, that was a very famous Tom Cruise movie, and that leads us to your question. You have 10 seconds on the clock. All you have to do is name five other Tom Cruise movies besides Jerry Maguire. Good luck.
Mission Impossible, Rookie of Business, Vanilla Sky, Jack Reacher.
Oh, so close. I think you got four.
Four, yeah.
Top Gun, Color of Money, Rain Man.
The best movie ever, Magnolia.
Magnolia. Yeah, he's got a lot of them. You did a great job. I'm sorry you didn't make it, but thank you for playing anyway. All right. I'm getting nervous now.
This
we won't
is not
get a
good.
Winner. Let's try Robert El Segundo. He's on line four. Hey, Robert.
Hi, can I have the Tom Cruise question, please?
Sure,
I'm sorry we already used that one. Good luck to you, my friend. Eliza Schlesinger is on the bill this Saturday night. She's a very funny comedian and podcaster. She's also the host of a new game show on TBS called Separation Anxiety. Speaking of game shows, you have 10 seconds to name for me five other TV game shows. Good luck to you, Robert.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The Price is Right. Let's Make a Deal.
Jeopardy.
Family Feud.
Wheel of Fortune.
I felt so confident about you when you got started.
Robert.
And don't get me started on the greatest game show of all time, Supermarket Sweep. I'm sorry you didn't get that one. All right, Robert, thanks for playing. Let's go to Southgate and talk to Chris. Is this an unusually difficult round, or what?
It's not easy, plus with mugs pressing the buzzer instead of the ding. That's confusing.
Accident.
All right, let's try Chris and Southgate. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, how's it going? These have been pretty hard, I'll admit.
Have they been hard? I'm sorry about that. We do want you to win. Of course, it's a great prize, so I'm pulling for you, so good luck. Here we go. Wheeler Walker Jr., the most profane singer in country music history, will be making his debut on the stage of the Shrine on Saturday night, playing his hits like F You Bitch and Redneck S at April Foolishness. Besides Wheeler Walker Jr., can you name for me any other five country singers in 10 seconds? Five country singers in 10 seconds. Good luck.
Taylor Swift, Carrie Underwood, Garth Brooks, Jason Aldean, Big Shelton.
Yes!
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. We have a winner. Congratulations. You are in the That's My John section at Kevin Bean's April Fool's this Saturday night. You will see at the VIP reception with the show backstage. We got the T-shirt for you and the VIP parking. Hey, thanks a lot for listening, and thanks for playing Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Queens of the Stone Age on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Chip, you'll be interested to know this. I was reading an interview with Josh Homme this week. You know, he's got that album out with Iggy Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's done with that, he says he's going right back into the studio to start working on a new Queens record.
So, sweet.
That is great news because they are one of the best out there. Time to talk police pursuits, you guys. I should say for the record, and I know that I am not on the same page as a lot of people who work on this show, particularly birthday boys who are not in today, but I hate car chases. And nothing annoys me more than car chases on the news because you know what? There's actual news going on that affects people. That's important.
You don't know how ratings work.
I know exactly how ratings work, and I understand that's why they do it, but it's still terrible television, and it has no business being on television. Having said that, I know that a lot of our listeners love car chases, and I know that a lot of our listeners have been in car chases, and those are the listeners that we're looking for today. Whether you got away with it or not, if you've ever stepped on the gas instead of the brake when a police officer tried to pull you over, I need to hear from you. I want to find out what the thought process was, how far you got, and if you got away, how you did it, because let's face it. As many car chases have been on TV, how many have you seen get away?
Not many, if any.
Because by the time it's on TV, you got helicopters, and it's pretty hard to get away from the helicopters. There are ways to do it, though, and I guarantee we have some of our listeners who have done it. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. There was a car chase last night. There was one on Sunday night, which, by the way, was Easter Sunday. I don't know if you guys saw this one. This was a woman who was driving the car. You don't see that very often.
You don't.
I would say 99% of the time it's going to be a man who's behind the wheel of that car that's trying to get away from the police. There's a young lady named Christy Adair. She gets home. I think she's grocery shopping. She gets home. She leaves her car, her truck actually, in her driveway and walks into her house. She says she was in the house for maybe 15 or 20 seconds when she heard the car start. Now, I don't know if that means she left her keys in there. Sounds like she might have because she left her phone in there, too. So maybe what happened is she pulled up to her house, got out carrying groceries, brought them into the house, and then left her keys in the car. And somebody came out of nowhere and stole the truck, right? She said, I ran outside. I saw a woman backing my truck out of the driveway. I had a bag in my hand, and I threw the bag at her. She put the truck in drive, drove towards me very fast, so I got out of the way. I was just screaming at her to stop. So she ran back inside, and she called 911. Then she started tracking her truck's location because, as I mentioned, her phone was in the truck, in the front seat. So she used the Find My Phone app so she could track where her truck was. Well, police obviously got involved, and they started chasing this woman down. And they had her in a truck, and they got her into a position in Simi Valley where they kind of boxed her in a little bit. And just when you think this car chase is about to conclude, she throws it into reverse and starts trying to get away again. So then another police officer comes up behind her and tries to box her in even further. And then she did something you don't see very often. And I think we've got the audio from Channel 2 News, who was covering this naturally live instead of a show that people tuned in to see.
It's going to be very difficult to pitch a truck. There we go. Much better that time. Let's see if we can get another unit in and pin this guy in. And I think we are going to be at a conclusion. They're out. Guns drawn.
Still moving.
Oh, he is still moving.
This guy is still not giving up. He's in reverse now.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Okay, now they're going to try to box him in. Oh, this is a... this.
Is that a woman?
This is a female. I believe it is. Whoa!
Oh my God!
She's trying to jump into
their car.
Cruiser. Oh, my God. Wow, they got her. She's on the ground.
Oh, wow.
What a maneuver. We just saw that a couple of weeks ago with that cruiser. I remember I was covering that chase in West Covina. We almost saw it again. LAPD was not about to let that happen. They've got her on the ground. They've overwhelmed her with officers. This thing is over. Wow.
Listen to how shocked they were that it was a lady, first of all. And then when, as she realizes, I assume she realizes, well, this didn't work out. I'm about to get arrested. She had a last minute idea, which is, what if I steal the police car? I'm out of the truck now, but what if I steal the police car? So she ran and was the door open already? And she jumped in, or did she open the door? I don't remember. But she tried to get in the front seat to drive away in the police car. That's a ballsy move right there at the end.
ladies, always thinking, huh?
Especially right? when you've got like six officers around you with a gun on you.
Overwhelmed by officers. Yeah. I saw that movie.
So they threw her to the ground, and I'm sure she's still in jail. But it didn't work out very well for her trying to get away from the police. Very difficult to get away from the police because you know what? They got radios, and they got backup, and they got helicopters. They got a lot of ways to find you. But I told you, Allie, our listeners have been there. Am I right? Look at these phones.
They lit up.
Look at these phones. All right, let's start with Martin. He's in San Gabriel. He's on line two. Let's get him up first and find out what his story is. Martin.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Turn down your radio, first of all.
Oh, sorry.
Because we've got a little bit of a delay. What's going on, my criminal friend?
Hey, I've done it twice.
Done what?
I have escaped the police twice.
No way.
What were you doing? How did it happen?
Well, the first time I did it, I was drunk, and I took a turn way faster than I should have. And it was very obvious that I was drunk, and a cop was sitting right there at the intersection. So as I made that turn, I decided to punch it, and he lit me up. But he was in a Tahoe, and I was in a residential area, and it was hard for him to turn around. So I can see him doing a three-point turn in my rear view. So I just cut down another side street and then parked in front of somebody's house and then got out and walked into their backyard.
Very clever. So you basically ditched your car in a place where he couldn't see you when he went by.
Yeah, and then he drove. I saw him. I was looking over the fence. He drove by. And he drove by again, and he drove by again, and then he left.
Okay. Let's all agree, though, that driving drunk is the worst decision you've ever made in your life, right?
That one, yeah, that time.
You did it again?
There was another time where it worked out better?
No, the second time that I did the police, I wasn't drunk. I was just driving like an idiot.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of a slalom type of street, and I was just going straight through without signaling or anything. I was driving like a dummy. And they saw me, but they were a little further back. So I did the same thing where I drove into a side street. But instead of pulling in front of somebody's house, I turned down a second side street and then parked. And then I saw him go by again. So the trick is basically to ditch him within the first 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. That's the trick.
That's what it sounds like.
Martin.
No, that's a good tip, though.
It's a good tip, but maybe don't put yourself in that situation. You're a better driver now, right?
I'm much better. This was like 10, 15 years ago. I'm a responsible adult citizen now.
So you've grown up and you learned your lesson.
Yes, absolutely.
But a great tip. Thank you.
Good enough. Thank you so much for the call, Martin. I appreciate that. Look at this. Adam, please hold on. Kevin, Michelle, Lenny, Kate, C. Our listeners are goddamn criminals, aren't they?
Thank God.
And I love them. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Hey! Kevin Bean Show, talking about you. If you tried to get away from the cops, it seems like, especially this last week, I know we have a lot of high-speed chases in Southern California. This last week, it's like every single day there's another one. And you would think that everybody has seen the high-speed chases and knows that you don't get away. But people still step on it. I don't know if they're just trying to get that last few minutes of freedom before they get arrested or if they honestly think, I'm going to be the one who's going to get away. What do you think, Allie?
I think they can get away, and if they don't, hey, they made it on the news. You know?
And I'm sure there's a lot of panic involved, too. And sure. I'm sure that there are also a lot of people who are like, this is my third strike. I just can't, you know? So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever tried to get away from the police, how did it go? Let's go to line five, please, Chip, and let's talk to Z. He is in Redlands. He drove, Z, for how long did you drive before you pulled over?
I was about 15 minutes into my drive, you know, getting really close to my exit. Really, really close. All right, but before this, I saw two little headlights coming up behind me, and I just dumped it. I took off. I was going like 100 plus, and I smoked them. I left them in the dust, you know?
Now, why'd you do that?
Well, I wanted to get home. I was super sleepy. You know, I would usually always sleep in front of my girlfriend's house, but that night it was too cold, and I wanted to go to my house, you know, and I thought I could make it. I honestly thought I could make it. My car was pretty fast, and I was about an exit away from my house.
Mm-hmm. And and how far did you end up going with the police chasing you?
Well, at first it didn't seem like he was chasing me. I just seen two little headlights coming up really fast behind me. Uh-huh. And I assumed it was a highway patrol, so I took off. I was going about 100 plus.
And you got away?
I was about 10 miles into my drive. One more exit I had to go, and he radioed in ahead, and there was a highway patrol waiting for me.
Why is this so funny to you, by the way? This sounds like the worst day of a person's life.
I have a lot of questions for Z. Why are you sleeping in front of your girlfriend's house usually?
Well, I live pretty far away. It was kind of a long-distance relationship thing, you know what I mean?
She didn't invite you in?
Was she really your girlfriend? Or is this just some girl you thought was cute?
Well, actually, she's my wife now, so, you know, it's kind of working at the end, I guess.
He makes good decisions.
Ladies, all the good ones are taken. All right, Z, you're very confusing, but we thank you for listening so much. Let's go to Fullerton, please. This is going to be a Kevin. So at least we do have a Kevin on the show today. That's nice. What can we do for you, Kevin? What's your story, please, sir?
Hey, morning, guys. So one night I got off work pretty late. I was on my motorcycle, and I decided to run a red light because, you know, those lights really don't read you sometimes on a motorcycle. Little did I know there's a sheriff right behind me when I ran that red light. So I started going, and I didn't have any mirrors on my bike, and I went about 5 to 6 miles without knowing that there was an officer behind me trying to pull me over. So by the time I did look behind me, there were about 10, 15 cops all chasing me down. Now the reason I didn't hear them was because I had earbuds inside my helmet in my ears. So
right.
I had no clue what was going on.
So earbuds, no mirrors. I think those are both two things that maybe aren't good.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. But at the same time, I have no mirrors because I never rely on mirrors. You should always be looking behind you. So by the time I did look behind me finally,
okay, but hold on a second. Is it your story perfect evidence that a mirror should be required and should be used in addition to looking behind you?
You should always look behind you, like when I did. Finally.
All right, so when they we don't have a lot of time here, but when they finally pulled you over, Kevin, did you tell them straight up, "Hey, I'm sorry, I had no idea you guys were chasing me"?
Well, yeah. I mean, I told them they had about 15 guns drawn on me. By the time the cops came and I got to tell them my whole story, I mean, they were laughing their butt off. I mean, they were just laughing the whole time. They gave me about 6 tickets, reckless driving, running red lights, et cetera. And I got my license suspended after that. But other than that, yeah, it was awesome.
Well, it sounds like you earned it, too. But thank you very much for the call, Kevin. We appreciate it. Let's go to Chad, Long Beach Line 2. Now, I wanted to get to Chad because we had that first caller who talked about how he got away by ditching the car and then leaving on foot. And I think that's what Chad did also, because that may be a technique that's useful as well. What's going on, sir?
How's it going? How you guys doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing real good. Thank you for calling.
No, so one night my buddy and I were sitting outside of my house, and, you know, I got that sudden urge to go get some Jack in the Box. You're hungry for miscellaneous reasons. But we ended up getting in my mom's car, and we took off down the street, and no more than 3 blocks away from my house, there's a cop sitting at this corner, and it's exactly the way that we got to go to Jack in the Box. So I'm looking at my buddy, and I'm panicking just because I was underage at the time, and I was afraid of getting pulled over and having my mom's car getting in trouble and me getting in trouble. So I told him, I said, "All right, look, I don't want to do this. Let's get out and let's run." And the cop had something. He thought we were up to something because he was staring at us, and it was just a scary moment. So we got off and we took off on foot. And we're taking off down the street, and I end up running past a buddy's house of mine that we both knew, and he had one of those trailers in the back of his truck that he take camping. And we ran up to it, and it happened to be unlocked. So we run inside, and we're looking out the window, and we see the cop. He's going up and down the street looking for us with his lights and stuff. And it happened to be that our buddy Craig comes out of the house, and he ends up seeing us in the trailer. And it was this huge fiasco, and he wants to know what we're doing in there. And then finally, he figures out why, and the cop ended up taking off. But we got in a lot of trouble by him rather than the cops. It was actually pretty funny.
All right, so the cops saw you run from the car. I mean, once they have the car, though, can't they then trace that back to you based on registration?
Well, that's the thing. Like, he saw us, and I think the fact that we got back to the car later on, and he was waiting at the car for us.
Yeah.
But we ended up getting in trouble, so.
But you got to eat Jack in the Box first, though, right?
No, we didn't make it to Jack in the Box.
Oh, that's the saddest part of this whole story. All right, thanks for calling, Chad. Bye-bye. Is Rachel here yet?
No. Don't be creepy, all right?
I just asked if our guest was here
next
hour.
Yeah, but you know you didn't. You're like, is Rachel here yet?
No, I just... Just asking. I just
creepy alert. Yeah. Creepy alert. Well, creepy alert. Creepy alert.
You set up the creepy sensors. That's science. That's not even my call. That they just went off.
The delightful Rachel.
Now
Nichols.
We have to reset, and there's now some alert
hour.
That goes out over
that
the
light is bright.
Over the radio. Oh.
She's got a new movie in theaters and on demand this weekend called Pandemic that looks just terrifying. We'll talk to Rachel coming up. First, Larell's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
It's just sad. It's all just sad.
Oh, what's going on? What happened?
The governor is dead.
The governor.
The governor.
Of.
Governor.
Okay.
Of.
Could you clarify? Expand on that?
Remember Benson? Remember the TV show Benson?
Yes.
Well, James Noble, the actor who played the absent-minded governor on Benson, passed away this week. He was 94. So young. Very talented actor. He was a big stage Broadway actor and television actor. But that was his big claim to fame, was the absent-minded governor on Benson. See, Benson kept him centered. He kept the machine rolling.
Yeah, he did.
Not that governor.
Nope.
It was Benson.
Yeah. It Benson was Dubois.
It was the crazy butler.
Yeah.
Who kept the whole thing going.
I love Benson.
Speaking of crazy, we need to get Wes Scanlon some help, right?
Why?
Singer for Puddle of Mud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he's gone off on some bizarre rants lately about people stealing his house.
Mm-hmm.
He's been arrested a few times trying to break into the house that he lost in foreclosure. Yeah.
Yeah.
New video footage out of a show in Australia where the band is playing on stage. And Wes goes into a rant about his home once again being taken from him. Rips his shirt off. Sits down, just starts ranting about his house and how it was stolen from him. And at which point, you see his bandmates put their instruments down. And they all just walk off the stage.
Oh,
well,
no.
Leaving Wes quiet, sitting in his chair, yelling about his house while the audience starts to scream and berate him. Then the venue cuts off Wes's microphone, and he still continues to sit there yelling, attempting to speak entirely on his own to a crowd that is streaming towards the exits.
Oh, my.
You can't really blame the band for walking off because at that point you're not performing Puddle of Mud songs. You're just sitting there listening to a crazy man talk.
Right.
And but
you can't blame the band for continually putting him out there on stage fronting the band. He's obviously not mentally capable of doing his job anymore. So what are you really doing? You're just trying to wring some more dollars out of this guy?
I don't know,
man. That's not good.
I mean,
it's like I feel bad. Well, we keep putting Bean on the radio, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously he's got some sort of sad mental thing is going on, some sort of meltdown. But no,
what's
keep trotting
right
him
now?
Out, and I feel bad. Why are there so many different harmonicas? See, it's just sad.
We
the
need
ramblings,
to take ownership.
The ramblings of a sad man is what happens.
And it sounds to me like you're saying Kevin doesn't show up at all anymore, and you wish Bean didn't show up.
Can people just have a heart attack and die?
It sounds crazy.
See, just the ramblings of a madman. You just got to feel bad about that person. Here we are, trotting him out for other people's entertainment. We should just keep him in the home, right? Ugh. Blech.
It's true.
That's how I feel.
And everyone relax. Stand down. We can go back to DEFCON 1 or 5, whichever one is least bothersome.
I think 5 is at the low end and 1
is
at the top.
And 1 is bad. So let's go to 5 then.
Okay.
All right.
The relationship between Jessica Lowndes and John Lovitz.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just for show, people. It's all a big publicity stunt.
They're engaged, though.
No.
They're in love, and they're going to get married.
No, it was all a gag, and I did gag, indeed, when I heard the news that 58-year-old Lovitz was engaged to 27-year-old Jessica Lowndes. But apparently it's all just a publicity stunt for her new music video, which you can ignore now, much like everyone else is doing.
Yeah. How did she think this would be good for her career?
Because I'm a sex symbol. Thank you. The ladies love me.
No way. Not ever.
What's John Lovitz?
A good businessman. My comedy club's a huge hit. Thank you.
I've heard the opposite of that, John Lovitz.
No.
What's he doing now, John Lovitz? Stand up still?
Doing sad publicity stunts with Jessica Lowndes.
Okay.
I'm guessing. Yeah, he does do stand up around the country. Okay. And he goes, "That's the ticket." Morgan Fairchild.
Is that an impression you get called on to do very often, Ralph?
It comes up from time to time in conversation.
All right.
I'm not going to pay you.
That's something you've heard.
That was actually truth.
That's the words I actually heard from the man.
You know, I'm paying you out of my own pocket.
It's your comedy club, John.
That's besides the point. Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Eric Idle, 73 years old today. Perry Farrell's 57. John Popper. He likes it when you call him Big Popper.
Nope.
49 years
How
old
dare
today.
You.
Lucy Lawless is 48. Chris D'Elia celebrates his 36th birthday. And our very own, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Number 37 on the field, number one in your hearts, Kevin Ryder, ladies and gentlemen.
Penis.
No one knows where he is or when he'll be back. But if you're listening, Kevin, we want you to know we're thinking of you.
We forgive you. Come home.
Come home.
Oh, no.
And if you're holding him, just let him go, please. We miss him. Just whatever it takes, whatever the ransom is, we'll pay it. Within reason, of course.
Yeah. I mean, not if it's a lot.
Namaste. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Happy to announce the return of the Lumineers to K-Rock. They're going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space next week, April 4th. I want to say that sounds like Monday,
yep.
Maybe? If you want to win passes to see the band up close to the Red Bull Sound Space and also tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl in October, listen to K-Rock all week long to win. Your chance coming up in about 10 minutes or so from right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. All right, Allie. You ready?
I don't know. You said you had some audio to play for me. You won't tell me what it is, and I'm nervous.
I feel like this is the type of thing that you will enjoy, and I just posted a picture of what we're about to talk on my Twitter account, @ClydeTumbaugh, if you want to check that out first, and then I'll play the audio for you.
Okay, hold on. People love that. Oh.
Did you just open your mouth a little bit?
Yes.
All right, please enjoy.
Why did you do this?
Please enjoy.
Hi, guys. Welcome to my channel. I'm Dr. Sandra Lee, also known as Dr. Pimple Popper. I'm a board-certified dermatologist in Southern California. And this channel is all about showing you a window into my world as a dermatologist. And what I'm going to try to do is post all different kinds of videos that have to do with the skin. Hopefully, you'll learn more about your skin and what to look out for. You'll also see a lot of the procedures I do in the office as a dermatologist. And along the way, of course, I'm going to post blackhead extractions, cysts being popped, lipomas being removed from the skin, because I know you guys love them, and I love that you love them.
Okay.
What?
Dr. Pimple Popper has a very popular YouTube channel that debuted last summer.
No.
And she has millions of fans around the world who like to watch the things that she talked about there. Popping, extracting blackheads, popping cysts.
Nope.
And And
no.
What's the other one? Lipoma? What's the other one? The other one that you get the big bulge on your arm? She pops these things, people like watching them. What's that about?
Wow.
Right?
Like seeing actual pus stream out and
yes.
People
find that weirdly satisfying.
Oh, no.
And you're about to hear people who are really into it. You can't believe some of the stuff on this channel. I unfortunately spent more time than I'm comfortable with last night on it, trying to figure out why people are the way that they are.
Don't forget to subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at Dr. Pimple Popper. Enjoy.
Okay, so that's set up for one of her videos.
Okay.
Now, here's a fan letter that Dr. Pimple Popper recently received.
I know I don't introduce all my videos, but I wanted to introduce this one because it's a special day. It's Valentine's Day. I think I have a very special video for you.
By the way, nothing says Valentine's Day like a red-hot blackhead extraction. Am I right?
You're right.
And I also wanted to read you this email that I got from a fellow popaholic. So here goes. Hello, Mrs. Pimple Popper.
Yes, by the way, they are called popaholics. If you're somebody who enjoys watching somebody get the pimples on their back
lanced on an internet video. You are a papaholic.
I had originally written a very, very long post about how me and my fiance met. I spoke about how the chances of us meeting, me being from the UK and her being from the US, were very slim. I mentioned how I managed to get the courage to travel to the States to visit her last summer, and how I managed to follow my heart and ask her to be my wife, which she accepted, I'm delighted to say.
Well, you're going to find out why these two were meant to be together.
Want to know how I knew she was the woman for me? Well, it's because we both adore your channel. So I got to stop here. That's crazy. They love a pimple-popping channel. That is so awesome.
Can you imagine, by the way, how that comes up for the first time when you're dating a new person? Like, how do you bring up that you're into pimple-popping videos?
Oh,
and gosh. How much does it rock your world if the other person comes back and says, me too?
I'm single. I just want to point that out.
These people are not. These people are together and happy.
The fact that I found a woman that not only tolerated the satisfying popping videos I like to watch before I go to sleep.
Wait a second. What? He likes to watch satisfying pimple popping videos before he goes to sleep? How does that get the job done?
Why'd you do this to me?
How is this a relaxing thing for people?
Maybe it's not so much relaxing. Maybe what he does while watching it then relaxes him.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not suggesting that.
Are
I
you
hope
sure?
You're not. I hope you're not suggesting that.
People are gross.
But the fact that she enjoys them even more than I do was the last straw. I had to marry this woman. Anyhow, fast forward 9 months of wedding preparations and visits back and forth. I write this email thinking of her Valentine's Day gift. I was wondering if I could get a signed photo or something from you for her to frame.
Okay. Maybe a jar of pus. This is awful. Why are you doing this to us?
So this is a couple where the guy is asking a dermatologist for a signed photo that he can give his fiance for Valentine's Day. Because Dr. Sandra Lee has meant so much. By the way, are you telling me that John on the phone is a papaholic? We're going to have to get to him in a second. Hang on.
I'd like to do better than this. I really want to dedicate this special Valentine's video to the two of you guys. Congratulations on your future wedding. Of course, I'm going to send you a bunch of Dr. Pimple Popper swags. Now, this video is very special for Valentine's Day because it has to do with the love between a papaholic wife and her husband.
Okay, so listen to her set up the video of a wife that, well, you'll find out.
This gentleman has actually been in here before to see me. He had a pretty big lipoma on his forearm that we removed. But his wife wasn't available to be present during that excision.
Oh, she couldn't be there, Allie. She couldn't be there to see him get his lipoma removed.
What's more important, lady?
Right?
So we arranged the next time he came in that his wife could take the day off work and come in to watch this procedure. And actually, it was very romantic because he allowed his wife to pop out the lipomas for him.
And
I think she got the biggest kick out of anybody in the room. And I just think it shows what true love is.
It does show what true love is.
It doesn't show what true love is.
Because she got to pop the lipoma on his arm. She got to, that's the picture that
she
I tweeted, by the way.
She took the day off to that's
the picture that I tweeted. That all that pus that's coming out of there, she squeezed it out. Those are her hands in the gloves. All right, let's talk to John. He's in Whittier. He is a papaholic. John, what are we missing with Dr. Pimple Popper? How is this a thing?
I don't know. It's just, it's a thing. It's interesting to watch. Some of the videos are crazy. Some of the reactions that people have during the videos are pretty funny to watch.
But why do you want to watch pus coming or blackheads or whatever coming out of a stranger's skin? Why? What is appealing about that to you?
I don't know. It's just it's weird.
And your wife is into it also.
Oh yeah, she's more into it than I am.
Could that become a problem?
She watches videos all the time.
I mean, does she subscribe to Dr. Pimple Popper's channel?
Oh, yeah, we both do.
Are you guys like a pop squad?
thank you for the call, John. Appreciate that. Let's talk to TJ in Torrance.
Why are there more people?
There's lots of. By the way, I have the audio of the wife popping the lipoma. I'm going to play for you in a second. But let's get TJ on the phone first. TJ, welcome to the show. What's going on? Are you a papaholic?
I am not, but my wife is. I showed her this video one time, and she just got obsessed. She watched it for like an hour, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you still watching this? Then she went online and bought one of those little things that they pop these
these zits with.
Like a blackhead extractor?
Exactly. Yeah. And she chases me around with it now, trying to do it to me.
This is so bizarre to me.
Now, does she watch them because she's funny or because she has an interest in medicine or because she thinks they're gross? She can't look away?
I mean,
like, what's going on in her head?
She's a nurse, so that might be part of it. But I also think she just likes, like, she likes cleaning my ears. She likes when I get a sunburn.
Is she a cat? What's happening?
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Let's talk to Jennifer real quick. She's in Lamita. She's another papaholic. Jennifer, thank you for calling. Can you explain what the attraction is for watching other people have their pimples popped?
Yes, I can. I love you, Bean. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you for calling. But we're really mystified by this one.
Oh, hell yeah. It's the best thing ever. And I've been down with this stuff since before it was on the internet. Like, my friends are always like, get off me. I'm like, no, you have something right there. You let me get it right now. Like, it's the best thing. It's so awesome.
You enjoy popping zits on other people.
Oh, God, Allie. Do you have anything that I can get at? Yes.
So, like, the best case scenario for you would be to find and marry a man with tremendous back acne. That, like, that would really make your day.
Actually, my girlfriend doesn't, she has really clear skin, so maybe if you could find me someone.
Okay, all right.
This is taking a turn.
This is, all right.
So good.
Thank you, Jennifer. By the way, Amy and Madonna Beach says she loves it because the end of every video is like a little surprise. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I want to play this video. So this is the one that Dr. Lee was talking about the woman who was sad because she missed the last time her husband had a procedure, so she wanted to come along and she wanted to do the actual popping, and here's how that went.
This feels kind of weird.
Weird, like you can sit. Come on over here. Come on over here. She's so cute. Look at her. Okay, so you really just want to get under it and just push up, like push up and wiggle around. Squeeze it. Can you dab the top of it?
Yeah.
There, now push, push, and wiggle, push, push.
This is her trying to force the pus out of the incision.
And push. Come closer. Okay. She's just for the part where it's popping out. Okay. There you go. There you got it. You got it. Okay, let go for a minute. Okay. Keep your arms sterile here.
Yes.
How was that? Was that good?
It's fun, right?
A happy couple right there. Ladies and gentlemen, check out the YouTube channel, Dr. Pimple Popper. Allie, I know you'll never be able to resist. Lovely actress Rachel Nichols joins us in studio. The film is called Pandemic. It opens up every Friday. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, good morning.
How you doing?
Some news rushing over to Alter.
Yeah, let's get, there we go.
There we go. Let's get there up close and personal here. I'm great. How are you?
Why do you come in here with that Patriots t-shirt? Why are you, like, trying to cause trouble before word one has been spoken? You're already throwing down.
Bean, you know me well enough. I am trouble. I'm not trying to cause trouble. This is how it goes. Plus, I had to represent my team today. Come
I appreciate
on.
It 100%.
But you know what a Seahawks fan I am, and you know how painful it is to even see the logo. Look, too soon, Rachel. That's what I'm saying. Too
soon. You
know
what? It's not too soon, because I actually went to the Super Bowl with my husband, who is a Seahawks fan, so he had to endure that part.
Yeah, I wondered how that worked. So here's the thing. So Rachel is an American who obviously spends a lot of time in Vancouver doing TV and movies and things like that. So you meet a nice Canadian boy.
Good Canadian boy.
Who, by the way, is so handsome. And I don't mean that in a gay way, but he's so unbelievably handsome. I feel like he should be the movie star and you should be selling real estate. There's something wrong there.
Believe me, you know what? He has been mistaken for the star in our relationship several times. I am not kidding. So I'm proud to admit that. I would not work in real estate development. I don't think I'd know what I was doing, so I really couldn't take over his job.
So you meet him, and he's a diehard Seahawks fan because, of course, our neighbors to the north in Vancouver, that's their team. That's their closest team. Okay, so is that a problem for you guys when it gets to, when those teams end up in the Super Bowl? Like, was that a very tense, miserable couple of weeks leading up to that Super Bowl?
When we were actually in Portland, Oregon, driving down to L.A. from Vancouver, when the two playoff games were, and we found out, we watched both of the games, the Pats won, the Seahawks won, and we said, all right, are we going to go to the Super Bowl? And we looked at each other and we said, both of our teams are playing each other. We have to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so on the day of the Super Bowl, I'm in full Patriots gear. He's in full Seahawks gear. And we shook hands walking to the stadium saying, one team's going to win, one team's going to lose. One of us is going to have to be a good loser. One of us is going to have to be a good winner. And people kept coming up to us asking if our marriage was going to survive the
Super Bowl. Well, that's a very real concern when the stakes are so high, Rachel. I would think the same thing.
Exactly. And you know what? He was a very good sport. He let us stay for the presentation of the trophy and the speeches and everything. We survived. But it was definitely, I mean, I shook his hand right before the Butler interception, and I congratulated him on the Seahawks win.
I don't know what you're talking about. I only watched up until the last 30 seconds of the game, and then I turned it off assuming we won. Are you
when
saying
you so? Get in fights, do you ever just yell, "Why'd you pass it?" Because I would do that. Just a dig.
It's just, what? Marshawn Lynch, you pass what?
Allie, whom you've just met, is also her family's from Boston. She's a lifelong Patriots fan.
Yes.
Is it tough being in Vancouver as a Patriots fan, or do they also love them there because they're kind of America's team? They've been so popular for so long.
You know, it's Canada, so everybody is super nice. I will say that sometimes I get flack because people think I'm you know, a bandwagoner, but I say, oh, no. I've been a Patriots fan since birth, since they were the worst in the league. Since Pete Carroll, ironically enough, was their coach. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I get credit being from New England and having been a diehard fan for life. So I'm not a Brady bandwagoner. As
gotcha. Say. How do you like living in Canada, Rachel?
You know what? I love living in Canada. Vancouver is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. It's not all that different from living in the States. It's not like we're comparing apples to Volkswagens here.
They speak English up there, right?
Yes, they speak English.
And they have cars?
They have cars. They have indoor plumbing, you know. All
really? Can you go to, like here in America, you go into like a store and you can buy food and things like that?
Yeah,
do they have anything
all of
like that? Or do you still have to trap and hunt your own?
No, I don't have to trap and hunt. But I'm from Maine, so technically I'm basically Canadian from birth anyway.
Bean, how does this make you feel that she's talking about all the things you don't allow me to talk about? Maine. The Patriots,
right.
They get mad at me because
Rachel?
My parents live in Maine now, and it's my favorite place in the world.
Aww.
And I bring up Maine, and they're like, shut up, no one cares about Maine. And now Bean's like, tell me more about Maine, Rachel.
Look, Rachel could come in and talk about beating kittens, and I would still love her. So there's no, like, she gets the exception. Whatever
wow,
Rachel wants to talk about, I want to talk about. So you have been very busy, working a lot.
Yes.
You did 4 seasons of Continuum, or 3.5, really, of Continuum, right?
We did 3.5. The last season, I've always contended, was able to happen because the fans were so in demand of it, and they wanted an end to the story. So we got 6 episodes in the final season, which I consider very fortunate, rather than having the show just as many shows do.
As many shows do, yeah, exactly.
And
that's a luxury to get to say goodbye, yeah.
So the 6-episode luxury at the end was something that we were all grateful for.
You've been in so many things over the last 15 years or so, but the sense I got from you from afar is that Continuum, it was very special for you and maybe the most satisfying acting job you ever had.
100%. Yeah. You know, I did, when I met you and Kevin was when I was on Alias.
Yeah, 10 years ago now,
you guys
way.
Were always such big fans of Alias, and that's how I ended up in the seat for the first time ever. So I've known you guys for a fairly long period of time. So I did one season of Alias. I did one season of Criminal Minds. I did one season of a show called The Inside. But I did 4 seasons of Continuum, and that was the first time that I ever had the opportunity to have that kind of family camaraderie with the cast and a crew and
yeah.
a story which I adored and a show creator which became a good friend of mine it's the work that I am the most proud of.
It was a great show, Rachel.
Thank
and
you.
I feel like it's the type of show, as a lot of science fiction shows are, that don't end when the show goes off the air in real time, because people are always going to be discovering it along the way. I think it's one that people are going to, you know, like start binge watching now because they've just heard about it, you know?
Yeah, I hope so. And they get to know that there's an end to it. They get to know going into episode 1 that there is an end to the show, that we did know that it was going to happen, and we got 6 episodes, even though I would have preferred much more, 6 episodes to wrap it up, so there is an end to it. It's just not going to end with somebody dying and then the camera going to black and then you never getting another episode.
Are you surprised the way your career, and I know you have a lot of career ahead of you, but the way your career has gone so far where you have played so many kick-ass chicks?
I love
that. Is
that
what
part.
You expected, that you would be doing so much action?
No. I never did. I love it. I love being believable in that kind of kick-ass, tough chick, you know, fighter kind of role. Alias was the first time I ever did a fight scene. I will never forget. I was playing a Russian hooker. I had a red wig.
Like you do.
And, like you do. Like you do. On Alias. Like yeah. you do. And I was wearing wedge heels and a very small Dolce & Gabbana dress, and we were fighting on an oil rig off the coast of Santa Barbara.
That old trope.
That, that yeah. old
Again? Again
if I had
that?
A nickel.
Right? And so, you were like, they're asking me to do this. I mean, like when you go into acting, I don't know what kinds of roles you grew up admiring, the types of things you thought you might do. In
like
your
Julia
career.
Roberts in Mystic Pizza.
Yeah. I didn't. I sense somehow that the wedges and the oil rig and the dress and the fight was not in your mind.
I'm also not allowed to talk about Mystic Pizza.
Yeah, Allie's a little
Rachel
bit obsessed.
Nichols so much.
Wow, I'm hitting on all the hot button yes. topics.
Well, we just had Annabeth Gishon here a couple of weeks ago, who we loved for so long. Yeah. And Allie, I thought Allie was going to grab her leg on the way out of the building.
I'm
not going to let her leave.
I love you. Really do.
Rachel Nichols is here. We got to take a very quick break. The reason she's in, by the way, and we'll get into in detail when we return, is this terrifying new movie that's in theaters everywhere on Friday and available on demand. I think it's safe to say, Rachel, if you're a Walking Dead fan, this is kind of essential viewing, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's certainly in that vein. Or if you love the first-person shooters, I mean, it is an intense and scary movie called Pandemic. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
Wasn't looking forward to it, the Kevin and Bean Show, but I felt great after. Like a massage from a man.
What? K-Rock. We've been looking forward to this day for a long time on the Kevin and Bean Show. The return of one of our favorite actresses, Rachel Nichols, in studio is here on K-Rock. She is the star of Pandemic. One of the stars. Great cast, by the way. Missy Pyle and Mekhi Phifer and what's that Game
Alfie
of Thrones
Allen.
Guy? Alfie Allen. Yeah. Very good on that. I saw the trailer for this and I thought claustrophobia. That's the word that came to mind. It looks very intense and very dark and lots of small spaces.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to shoot this one, Rachel?
We shot this in a little under a month actually. And it was summertime and the entire movie is first person shooter basically. So everything is shot from the perspective of myself or Missy or Mekhi or mm-hmm. Alfie or a security camera. So, we wore hazmat suits the entire film.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and it was summer.
So hot.
And
you were
very claustrophobic. And we with helmets and everything.
Yeah, where'd you shoot it?
Here, we're just all over.
Oh, so in 100 degrees Southern California is where I see. Yeah. Okay. Oh my Lord.
Yeah, it was warm. It was warm here. I think it was like October that we shot it. It was very, very warm. There was a lot of running. There was a lot of sweating. All the moisture that you see inside the helmets is actually 100% real. but the person that had the hardest job was Amanda, who did the majority of the camera operating because they built a camera helmet for her that she wore. So if it's my perspective and I'm doing a scene with Missy, it's actually Missy's looking into the camera that is attached to Amanda's head.
I see.
So first of all, that thing weighed a ton and she had to run around with it on her head and she had to, you know, crawl around with it on her head and there was a lot of dark. And so she's kind of the hero of the film. But it shooting it this way lends itself to being it feels very, very real, mm-hmm. and it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying, and you don't exactly say what the event was that caused the pandemic, but it was not a good thing.
No, I mean, like you said before the break, there's definitely a Walking Dead aspect to it. It's sort of if Ebola had taken over the world and had morphed into some sort of, you know, kind of alien quality disease. It's interesting because it's also like I said about The Walking Dead before I watched The Walking Dead, I thought I'm not a zombie person. Well, Walking Dead is not actually a show about zombies. I mean, it kind of is, but it's character driven and
absolutely,
and it's brilliantly acted. And I think that a lot of the elements of Pandemic are the characters. There are these four very important characters and
on different journeys.
Yes, 100%, completely different journeys. And yes, the sort of alien, foreign, zombie part is there, but that's not the entire.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, you do really end up rooting for what you guys are trying to accomplish during the course of this movie, and there are definitely some surprises, and there's definitely, I mean, look, I know you know you're on a movie set, but some of the stuff that you're doing just looks so realistic. You have to feel like I'm really kicking this dude's head in, right?
Oh, my gosh, and the guy that they had that plays that big, tall, you know, sort of slender, scary, creepy zombie dude. He was lovely, but he was horrifying to look at once they got all the makeup put on him.
Do you have any fear at all? Do you think about, because you're a smart person, Rachel, and you're involved and you follow the news. Do you ever worry that something like this could happen for reals? I do. When I see an Ebola or I see a Zika or I see a bird flu or any of these things come out, I always wonder, is one of them going to be the one that catches fire among the population and we can't stop it?
Yes. You know what? There's part of me that now I have, I joke with a bunch of my girlfriends that say, you know what we're looking for in a man that can get us through the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
It's no longer like, I need a sense of humor, and I hope he has nice abs. It's, I need him to have the ability to get me through the zombie apocalypse. So I think it's a very real fear for many people.
I do think movies like yours and some of the TV shows that are out there, I do think that they have raised our awareness that we better have a backup plan.
There's got to be a backup plan.
When S goes down, yes.
You got to have some ammunition. You might need a rifle. You know, whoever has the most guns, I'm going to go hang out with them.
Pandemic, by the way, opens in theaters on Friday and also on iTunes and video on demand next Tuesday if you want to see it. It's playing at the Arena Cinema in Hollywood, by the way. You can go to arenascreen.com for tickets. I did bring in a clip from the movie, and Rachel, you are on this clip, but I think this really, it's about 30 seconds long. I think this really sums up what you're going to get when you see Pandemic. Listen up. See? Am I right? Does that sum it up or not?
Yeah.
Why are you up there laughing? You're just like...
I just can't believe how crazy it is.
I do also want to take this moment to thank Allie for the gift that she gave me.
She
gave me some Gronk flakes. I'm gonna take these all the way back to Canada.
You're deserving, and you're welcome.
Thank you.
Did you have to vet her first, Allie, to make sure she was enough of a Patriots fan before you would?
I did. I'm like, don't bring him in until halfway through the meeting. And no, I left him in the car, so Dave had to go get him.
I don't know when we'll get to see you again, Rachel. So tell me
whenever you want, pretty much.
God bless you. Tell me in advance. I see that you have two things on the IMDb already that are not out yet. One is called Inside. What's that about?
I'm about to leave to go shoot Inside, actually. Mm-hmm. We're shooting in Barcelona, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, poor Boo.
I know. I've never been to Barcelona.
They're
my Spanish
is not
so great. They're making me go to Spain. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And that I was hoping, actually, that I was going to get to do the movie with Missy Pyle, but it didn't work out. And that's a thriller about a woman who gets into a car accident and kills a pregnant woman who gets into a car accident and kills another woman's child. And
oh, so it's a comedy.
Yeah, it's a rom-com. We end up together and we raise my child. No, I'm kidding. And then I shot a little movie called After Party in upstate New York in December, and it was so much fun because I am playing a role that I have never played before. I am playing a boozy, sort of kind of crazy art gallery owner in New York City who has a gallery opening and then an after party at her place. And it's a character completely different from anything I've ever played. So that actually is kind of a comedy.
You kind of get to let your freak flag fly a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a totally interesting experience, and it was a lot of fun. But that's one of the things I like about doing the little films, is because people, you know, you become a family and you end up with lasting relationships. I mean, Laura Dreyfus is in the film. She's currently on Broadway. I wish I could go see her, but she was on Glee for a while, and she's just lovely. And it was
it was a really
fun cast. And on a tiny movie like that, you all end up spending a lot of time together and hanging out. So I think that'll be a fun little dark
comedy. That's
awesome.
Well, we'll look forward to it. I know you didn't grow up planning to be an actress, but hasn't it been a wonderful and satisfying life for you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I like to think that no matter where I had ended up, if I'd, taken that bank job when I graduated from Columbia, that I'd be as happy as I am now. But I definitely think I got extremely, extremely lucky in the career department, and I've been very fortunate
Well, we're always happy for you. We always root for you every time we see you're going to be on something, and you always do such a great job. So congratulations on Pandemic. I hope people go see it this weekend or get it on demand next Tuesday. And it's been a pleasure. Have fun, my dear. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry to miss Kevin. I'm sad that he was sick today.
Rest we will send your love along.
Okay. And you heard the Ugly Kids doing With ugly. You. Nice. And they're in the new movie called B.C. Butcher. Mm. And then before them, you heard, what did we hear before that? Yeah. God, I don't remember.
I don't know, man.
But you remember.
What?
Sloppy Seconds.
Oh, yes. Sloppy Seconds doing You Don't Want to Kill Joey Ramone. Anyway, I'll be back right after this.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rodney. Appreciate you stopping by. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Elton John's got big troubles.
Uh-oh.
You know how it is.
He just had his birthday this week. We were just talking about him the other day. He just turned 69 years old.
I know. Apparently, just because there's snow on the rooftop doesn't mean the fire's out in the furnace.
What's happening with you today?
He's being sued by one of his former security guards. Jeffrey Winninger claims that back in 2014, when they were in a car together, Elton put his hands in Jeffrey's pants, tried to grab his genitals,
and
tried to put his finger where it didn't belong.
Careful.
What did I say?
I just didn't know where that sentence was going to end.
You started down with
put his finger.
I know better than you.
Okay.
Elton allegedly ordered the guard to, and this is Elton's words, Jeffrey's claims, and a direct quote, "Get your todger out and say hello to Uncle Elton."
Sloppy Seconds.
Get your todger out and say hello to Uncle Elton.
Come on. I am unfamiliar.
No one's ever said that. Not even Elton.
Todger.
Todger.
I've not heard that term.
Oh, come on, Bean.
Well, if true, and again, this is a he said situation, it would be very difficult to prove. I can't imagine there's any evidence at all.
Unless
but,
they dust his todger for prints.
Well,
can you do that?
Sure, you can. There's todger dust.
All right. It does sound like sexual assault if it happened, though.
Jeffrey says he told Elton to stop, but the singer was very persistent.
Don't.
And they're from Canada.
Why?
Well, Jeffrey said another time, once it happens once, don't you hand in your notice?
Don't victim blame.
Well, I'm not victim blaming, but if you don't like that, and he says, get the todger out, say hello to Uncle Elton, they're like, well, I need to give in my notice then. I no longer choose to work for Uncle Elton. My todger and I will get employment elsewhere, thank you. So we'll wait and see what happens. But
you know how ladies can get.
Apparently, the father of Jeffrey Winninger is very upset. He told Elton, don't let the sun go down on me.
Oh. Don't go breaking my heart with any more of these puns, Ralph.
So, Jeffrey said goodbye Yellow Brick Road back in 2014 and has not worked for him since.
Well, sit down.
Sorry seems to be the hardest word in this case, so.
But he's still standing. So, that's all that really matters. I guess that's why they call it the blues, because when you're working for a guy and then that happens, it kind of makes you sad. Right?
Get him the hell out of here!
Bean refuses to play. He's never not played this game.
Really?
This is a once in a lifetime occasion.
Quite the sacrifice.
I felt like you guys had a nice volley going on, and it would just be like a third person running out onto a tennis court.
But if you would join Ben, it would be like the circle of life then at that point.
Oh, well, I see what you're saying.
I hate you both. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Justin Bieber.
Ugh. Guilty.
Get your todger out and say hello to Uncle Bean, right?
No.
I don't.
You
think
love
so.
Justin Bieber. You love him.
I am a fan. I enjoy his work. But
I'm a believer. Fans who paid $2,000 for a VIP meet and greet package in Vegas over the weekend were sorely disappointed because, you see, Justin Bieber has canceled all of his meet and greets with fans because he announced last week it makes him depressed that they emotionally drain him because they want him to be all the things they want him to be, and he's just a man.
He just got tired of hearing people's whiny stories about their lives and how their music saved him, I bet.
Yeah. So Here's the thing. If you wanted your money back to get a full refund for the $2,000 VIP package, you had to give back your concert tickets, too. So if you were going to try to reclaim that money, you would lose out on seeing Justin Bieber, which, let's face it, is an adventure of a lifetime.
The problem with that, too, is I'm sure these are all sold out. So if they did want to then get cheaper tickets, they couldn't.
They weren't available.
He's got to make that right.
So imagine what happens when you pay the VIP package and you do get shuttled backstage. There was some satisfaction.
Okay.
Because you got to take a picture with a cardboard cutout of Justin Bieber.
He's Justin Bieber. He's the handsome devil that came down from heaven to make some great songs and dance forever.
Right.
What that guy said.
And he was. And we can all rest easy tonight. The alleged romance between Jessica Loundis and John Lovitz apparently is just a big promotional schmegaggy.
Come on.
Yeah, it's a big big publicity stunt.
He didn't get any schmegaggy out of his toddler, did he?
No, he didn't. He's 58. She's 27. The Twitter sphere went ballistic when she posted some pictures of herself and John together saying she had a new man and there was an engagement ring photo and blah, 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 blah.
And you never bought it for 1 second,
not
by the way.
Not for one second.
To Ralph's credit, he didn't even go through the phase of, hey, I wonder if that's just another one of these Hollywood romances with a big age difference. He ignored that impulse and went right to doesn't pass the smell test.
Exactly. I knew he was acting. Thank you. I'm the master thespian.
She did apparently let him put that hand between her legs in that Instagram photo.
How do we know they were her legs?
Thing. Well, they might not
have been stunt legs.
They could have been. They could have brought in some actors, I guess.
That's right.
So how's her song? Has anyone
bothered?
The whole point of this was to get publicity for her new song.
After her
good?
Chicanery? You think I'm going to listen to her?
What's
listen
going
to her,
on?
Her song?
I can't.
Did Ralph get a thesaurus for Easter? Because
like an old-timey thesaurus?
He's coming up with a lot of words.
I will not participate in her
with
chicanery.
With your todger and your chicanery and your schmageddon and everything else?
Hey, Bina, Omar actually sent a clip in.
Oh, we have her song?
The Jessica Loud song?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear it.
Cool.
Yes.
All right.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah. Time and
John
a half.
Flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
Acting! Thank you!
They still got it.
Hope Sanders makes another movie so I can be in it. Thank you!
Stop.
Today's celebrity birthday is Eric Idle. 73 years old today. He's the best. Monty Python, of course. So many great, talented projects.
You went all the way to England to see Monty Python, didn't you, Ralph?
I did. I went to see their reunion show at the O2 Arena there in London.
And it was worth the trip.
It was completely worth the trip. One of the great trips of my life. Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction is 57 years old today. John Popper from Blues Traveler is 49. Lucy Lawless, Frontier Mistress, is 48 years old. Chris D'Elia is 36. And our very own, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday today.
What did you do?
We don't know where he is or what he's doing, but we just want him to know that we just want him to come home safe, that's all.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
Nope. We're all done. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I do hope that Kevin gets this message. I hope the bad people who are keeping him chained up in a basement at least allow him to listen to the show so he knows that we were thinking about him on his birthday.
I do, too.
All right. Tomorrow, we're coming on back and trying again with another all-new Kevin and Bean show. I think this one's going to be a good one. The Fear the Walking Dead TV show is coming back in a couple of weeks. From that show, we've got actor Coleman Domingo joining us in studio. Also, the great Bob Saget will be here. Star Fuller House and, of course, playing April Foolishness on Saturday night. Colin Hanks back on the...
I'm sorry, Bob Saget. Look at me. I'm Bob Saget, too.
Different sorry, guy. John Lovitz. We're not going to have time for you tomorrow. Our friend Colin Hanks will be on as we approach the playoffs for his beloved L.A. Kings and also the finale of his series Life in Pieces on CBS. We'll be talking to him. And, of course, we have our weekly recap with the juice himself of The People versus O.J. Simpson and your tickets up close for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness that you can win. That's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock.